Are you taping?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Are you guys ready?
Should we start this thing?
Maybe.
Did we start that yet?
Yeah. There you go.
So we're actually going?
Yeah, we're going.
All right, well, let's get it going. Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat, moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to youtube.com/ardentatheistpodcast and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. And help us get in the top 10, or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Do it now or I'll make a sign and pick at your funeral.
I'm not going to pick it. What? I'm not dead.
I'm going to pick at it anyway.
Oh, you trying to tell me something?
Yes. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want because we're not hypocrites.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you Hitler-loving scaremonger. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Sam Singleton. That's Brother Sam and Jimmy Palombi. You know these guys from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I can tell.
How is this show going to go? Jimmy, I've been trying to get you on the show for a while.
You have. I fought it.
You have fought it. I asked Jimmy in an email, so do you believe in God or gods? Or are you atheist / agnostic? His response, I like pie.
I thought it was cake, Jimmy.
it's a cake pie. Guy. That's exactly right. You don't like talking about religion, is my guess.
I like to remain a mystery, you know.
Yeah.
Keep things on a certain shallow level for the kids.
Okay.
Just like when the Beatles didn't tell anybody they were married, you know. It's my fans.
The Beatles were married?
Oh jeez. All right, I'll be leaving.
Brother Sam has been on the show once. You came to us via Skype or phone, I can't remember which.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. That was a while I remember ago. That.
And you're currently traveling or touring?
I'm on the road. We've been out for a few weeks, and we'll be out for a few more weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're here in sunny Southern California right now, but we'll be heading to the Bay Area next week.
You do an unusual show. Now, I had you call into the show. I'm trying to remember where it all happened, but there was a guy who had an ice cream shop. I know that you were there, and I think he had seen your show, and... it was at a convention somewhere.
Gelato Gate.
The Gelato Gate.
Gelato Gate.
Why do we
yes.
put gate on every scandal?
I don't
it's
know,
the
but
fucking
I'm,
thing.
I'm sort of flattered. You
yeah,
know?
I know.
I
right?
never expected it to come my way, but now that it has,
you
it's
upset
gone.
That man. And I talked to him on the phone at length.
You did. I never did. You
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
He never made any attempt to contact me. Never.
He was a nice, kind, reasonable, sad man. And
yeah. and
he
also
was.
Now he's
hey guys,
an out right businessman.
Here. I'm right here, guys.
No. It was not Jimmy Palombi.
You have gelato.
But it was some guy who ran a gelato business. Is he out of business?
I understand that he is out of gelato. Out of the gelato business, or that the gelato shop has closed.
Has since closed. That yeah. saddens me.
As an Italian, it saddens me as well.
As an Italian. Yeah.
As
so
a
you will admit
eater.
To being Italian. We're starting to peel away the
oh,
onion.
Geez.
We're starting to figure a
you
little
have...
bit more about Joe. Joe is our guy who's on the Wall of Reason, and he moderates the discussion that's taking place. So, Joe, if you could make a note... We have one fact about Jimmy, and that is that he's Italian.
You're breaking me down like Barbara Walters.
I'm going to figure this out,
yeah.
my friend.
Which
by the end of this show, we're going to have you in underpants.
Which means
and maybe
tears.
There were so many gelato businesses in Springfield, Missouri, that they simply crowded him out, that he could no longer compete.
Well, which listen, means he's a Buddhist.
I don't know. You think he's a Buddhist?
Not looking like that.
I'm intrigued by having Jimmy on the show, and I'll tell you why. Because so far, I don't think... I've always said to my guests off... air before we go on, I'm going to ask you what you believe. A reasonable response, if you choose to go this route, is it's none of your fucking business. That's okay. This is the first time I've got it. It's none of your fucking business. But I'm going to figure it out.
In so many words.
It's the puzzle. You'll be more rewarded once you do actually come to that conclusion yourself.
Yeah, one of the problems I think we have is that some people, they come to conclusions about what people believe without even... consulting the others. And as an atheist, I get that a lot. I know you suffer this probably more than me, Sam, but sometimes I'll have people on who are believers, and they spend the entirety of the show defining what I as an atheist am. I'm right here. Ask me what I am. Ask me what I think.
Exactly.
The desperation of needing to define me so that you can then beat me with a bat is what's at work there.
And needing for you to comport with that definition, you know.
Yeah.
Similarly, I see this happen to people. Well, my wife is an example of whom I, or to whom I've heard people say, well, you're too nice to be an atheist. They're actually surprised that someone who is kindly and decent and a good citizen, it happens to be an atheist.
And when they find out, they look at you differently, don't they?
They do. And that is why most of the atheists I know are fairly circumspect about divulging that part of their lives.
I was going there. Yeah. I was going there.
Threw me as well.
Throwing me off with a big circum word.
Yeah, I my first encounter with you was really neat. You walked into, in Kansas City, you walked into an event in Westport. A friend of mine had called me. I was in Kansas City working on a film, and he said, you know, there's a gathering of, I think it was non-believers. I don't think it was skeptics. I think it was non-believers. And they're gathering at this little bar in Westport. So I went down, sat down, and just talked to like-minded people. And you walked in, and it was so neat. It was just awesome to see someone. And I want to tell the listeners what you do. I mean, you actually, you put on shows, and you are the atheist evangelist.
In the ironic sense.
Which I love that you say it's in the ironic sense, by the way. Because we are accused of that, you know.
Yeah.
We atheists are accused of being as bad as the fundamentalists.
As if we actually give a fuck.
Right, right. But I love your show.
Thank you.
I love that you go around the country.
I love Jimmy's show.
Have you seen Jimmy's show?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something.
I Googled Jimmy.
He's a funny cat.
He Googles better than Brother Sam does.
Does he really?
He does. Both of you guys, you know. You put me in the shade.
Well, we've been doing it a while. How long have you been doing
this? 5 years.
You know, I have 25 years.
Yeah, you'd think I'd be further along by now, wouldn't you? Huh?
No.
It's
10 years is an overnight.
That's what it is. It's prejudice. This is atheophobia in action.
Right, roger that.
Well, we're almost at our 100th show.
Oh.
That's important.
Well, and I've been doing comedy for 25 years.
You're in the big city.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah.
Where do you live?
On the road.
On the road, yeah. You're a road dog.
Traveling man.
Jimmy, do you do the road? You're L.A. No, mostly, aren't you?
I don't do road unless I'm paid heavily. Then I'll do one thing and come back.
Yeah. Jimmy was on a show with me where I performed as Hitler, and we roasted Santa.
Obvious choice.
Yes. Well, this is my week for Hitler references. We saw Billy the Mime a couple of days ago.
I love Billy the Mime.
At the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and he does a wonderful piece on the Second World War, and his Hitler is not to be missed, by the way.
No, he's got the accent
down.
How
could you miss his Hitler?
Exactly right. But he sucks on radio.
As did Hitler. The mustache got on the way.
That's right.
Now, what would you say, how you played Tiny Tim.
I did, Tiny
in the
Tim,
show.
And the host with the... running the host.
And
did somebody else play Miss Vicky?
No, there was no Miss Vicky.
I don't know. Miss Vicky.
Not that Tiny Tim.
The puppet as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Puppet was funny.
He's a dummy.
No, you're pulling the don't pull the curtain back like that.
I'm sorry.
That puppet was alive.
We worked together.
Dummy. Not you. The dummy was awesome.
Yeah.
He was perfect. I love him.
That's his venue. That's his milieu.
So maybe this will get me a little bit more understanding of where you are, Jimmy. Apparently, Westboro Baptist Church, you're aware of him?
I am not.
Yeah. Fred Phelps? You're not?
No.
Fred Phelps.
Shut your face.
No, I live in a cocoon.
Oh.
If it's not about
me. Shut the fuck door. That's one of my favorite bait and switches.
Fuck the door and shut up.
Fred Phelps is Well, I think he's a mentally ill man. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, you know, he is absolutely that. But if he were just that, that would suggest at least some question of culpability. And
right.
I think Fred Phelps and his ilk are fully culpable for what they do, and I think they're absolutely on the hook for their aberrant behavior.
aberrant?
It is aberrant.
How now? I'm not sure I'm going to agree with you on this one. You know the God hates fags folks, right?
The GHFs.
They pick at the... they pick... I did not know they had been relegated? Yeah. Relegated. To an initialism.
Yeah.
They picket funerals with signs that says God hates fags, and they do things that kind of confound most people. Anybody who hasn't read the Bible and gone with a strictly horrific interpretation of it doesn't understand what Fred Phelps is doing. For the record, I want to say that what he's doing, I think, is completely logical if you read a literal interpretation of the Bible. Certainly, he's kind of an idiot because they're not stoning people. You know what I mean? So he doesn't go the full distance anybody.
Yes. No, but he's constrained from doing such as that, and he absolutely does. And he and his several of his children are attorneys.
Yeah,
absolutely do everything that the law allows.
Right.
But far more than picket funerals, they threaten to picket funerals and send out press releases to that effect. So they get exponentially more press coverage than they would get if they just picketed funerals.
So they Google better than you.
Yeah, might well. That's setting the bar pretty low.
Right?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jimmy?
There's a certain benefit to, though, this kind of activity, I always find. You know, and along the lines of the artist Christo, he enrages everybody by draping things and cloths in the parks and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it gets you talking, it gets you thinking, it gets you wondering where you stand.
These people just get you mad.
But there's a certain entertainment.
Not
value.
Jimmy.
No, that's like
Jimmy
saying
cares.
You jack off to get strong wrists.
But there's an entertainment value to it that I appreciate, and I think you can.
You like circuses?
Well, I mean, I
enjoy circus folk.
If burning crosses, tickle your funny bone, maybe. But these people deal in nothing but absolute despicable hatred of their fellow human beings.
Yeah.
And
but that's what the Bible tells them to do.
Well, absolutely, certainly. I think that.
I mean, if you read the Bible, people like to claim that Jesus is this meek, mild, wonderful, soft-spoken, awesome guy who was all, you know, turn the other cheek, love your brother. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. There's a much more complex message from the New Testament.
Complex and contradictory, too.
Very contradictory.
Yeah, such as there is, though. If you look at a red letter edition of the New Testament, like I was raised on, in which the words of Christ are
red leather
struck
or
in
red
there's not that much there. And the fact is that given the three very often opposing versions of Christ presented in the gospel, he didn't say all that much. You know, he only had 3 years of...
It's also important to say that we don't even know for sure he said any of those things. That's
or that
the other
he even
reality.
Existed.
There's a line in, at the risk of being overly self-referential.
Please.
In Brother Sam's...
Unapologetic, sir.
In Brother Sam's new show,
yes.
Cat, Sheep, and Goat, The Taxonomy of Atheist Believers and Preachers, Brother Sam discusses how reading Huckleberry Finn... ruined Jesus for little brother Sam at the age of 10. And
really?
Absolutely. You'll have to buy a ticket to get the rest of the story. But now I absolutely lost my train of thought. I hate it when that happens on live radio and TV. Anyway.
My fault.
Sawyer made me lose my train of thought as a child.
You and I don't agree, I think, on Westboro Baptist Church. You find them to be abhorrent, you said, I think. Or what was your word?
Aberrant.
I find them to be aboriginal. I don't know why.
They are indeed not aboriginal. They may be aboriginal to Topeka, but certainly not North America.
Everybody is.
Yeah, everybody is. I grew up not far from there. I don't find them abhorrent. I don't think they're...
I didn't say abhorrent, and I do find them abhorrent.
Yeah.
But I find them aberrant in that that's a judgment on my part. But I prefer to think that their behavior isn't typical. and it isn't mainstream in any sense, that it is an aberration.
It's an aberration. So you think that there's no argument that they're an aberration of the Christian faith system. There's no question that that's just 40 people. And I don't know if that includes the kids or not. Do you know the answer to that?
I do not know.
I don't know. I imagine Joseph Swam was going to look this up for us. But Wikipedia says that it's ostensibly 40 family members. That's all it is.
I went there. I visited Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I went to Topeka, Kansas for the Million Fag March a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And
more of a prance than a march.
And, thank you. Or a sachet.
Were you there?
Well... Okay, mystery unraveling
right,
slowly.
Yeah. Another layer comes off the onion.
It took place a couple of blocks from Westboro Baptist Church, and then that happened on a Saturday, and the following Sunday morning, I went to Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And
were you able to get in?
No, I was stopped by a couple of goons at the gate. I read them an invitation asking them to pick at my shows into perpetuity instead of picketing funerals, and to check my itinerary on the website, samsingleton.com. They haven't. I've played Topeka, Kansas 3 times, and they haven't shown up yet.
Yeah.
I've gone so far as to go to their place and invite them to come to the show, and they haven't yet.
Well, maybe we should invite them to come to funerals and pick up.
All of the houses in the compound, and they bought a number of lots surrounding the church. Sorry about that. They bought a number of lots in the neighborhood surrounding the church, and they all have the same fencing and paint scheme and like that.
An ex-girlfriend of mine dressed up in kind of Little House on the Prairie kind of stuff, and went there and knocking on the gate, trying to get in, saying that she wanted to join. They don't accept new members. Here's my
take. Offered to show them my penis.
That will only work with Fred. Here's the deal. Westboro Baptist Church are clowns. They're just jesters. They're international punchlines. They're a mild irritant to be tolerated. Here's why. Because free speech and free exchange of ideas is what we all want. That's why we have to tolerate these kinds of assholes. And I think we should. I consider the evangelistic churches around the corner from every home in the nation to be a greater threat to humankind than the 40 members of Fred Phelps' tiny little redneck family. I consider the Catholic Church and its Pope and its bishops and its altar boy diddling priests to be a present and imminent threat to every living human being, okay? The lies that are spewed from altars, madrasas, synagogues, and on the public airwaves is the threat we should all be standing up to, not 40 inbred hicks with a few chromosomes out of place. I don't need to fear idiots with signs. These aren't things to be feared. We do need to fear idiots shaping minds. That's what we need to fear, okay? Westboro doesn't even accept new members. The only way to end up a member of a Westboro Baptist church is to be the unfortunate asshole who slips out the ample hips of a Phelps family member. That's the only way it can happen. They don't recruit. They don't accept or solicit new members. They are a small group of antiquities set in their little isolated island, flinging shit at anyone ignorant enough to get close to them. But tonight, there are thousands of young, impressionable minds being indoctrinated through psychological, coercive, and highly effective means in churches coast to coast. Somewhere, right now, this moment, there's a child on its knees sobbing for forgiveness after having been told that she's a worthless sinner. Somewhere, there's a teenage boy who has decided to live his life for Jesus in order that he might not act on his natural impulse to love another man. Somewhere in the world this month, there will be a young woman put to death because she was wrongly accused of causing a man to rape her. Westboro Baptist and its 40-some morons, led by mentally ill Phelps, is no more of a threat than the gin-soaked hobo screaming obscenities and demanding to be paid for inventing cellular technology on the corner down the street. The harm Westboro can do is nothing compared to the socially acceptable practice of psychological manipulation, emotional indoctrination, and the lie of an everlasting afterlife filled with streets of gold, followed by a barrage of reasons this life isn't worth living. Stopping Fred Phelps isn't the answer. What we must do is find a way to stop creating more people like Fred Phelps. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ardentatheist.com and available in the iTunes store.
Did you know that Emery made a comedy CD in the early 90s?
It's funnier than that last rent I just
did. He did.
I did.
All the physical CDs are gone, but Emery's stand-up lives forever on iTunes and CD Baby. Just go to CD Baby.
What?
Just go there. CDBaby.com/Emery Emery to download Purveyor of Filth, Emery's stand-up comedy CD from the early 90s. Don't worry, he didn't make too many references to Ronald Reagan or the Stray Cats.
One.
You won't be confused.
No.
Go check it out now at CDBaby.com/Emery Emery or on iTunes and hear why Emery got into film and television production. Shh.
You've read that 50 times.
Don't check it out now.
They can check it out.
Back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking about Sam Singleton and Jimmy Palombi. Am I saying your name right?
No.
How do you say it?
Jimmy.
Oh.
No, it's Jimmy. Palombi.
It's Palombi?
Yeah.
Palombi. With the kind of lilt. You put the lilt
There's
on
a
it?
Lilt, a little
Does the family say that?
No, they don't.
The people on the wall want to know more about the ample hips.
They were banned in the 80s. He was the lead singer there.
Damn good band. Banned in the 80s. So that's my take on the... I don't think they're a threat. I just don't. I think that they're fucking clowns. I think that they're the red-ass baboons. I agree with Jimmy.
I don't think they're a threat.
Yeah.
What I think they are is a... but I do think that they are a present harm to the community in which they live. There are big God hates fags banners all over Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And there is a line in Sam Singleton, Atheist Evangelist, Cats, Sheep, and Goats, the taxonomy of believers, preachers, and atheists, in which is said, you can make like the goons at Westboro Baptist and festoon your church with great God hates fags banners, and there's not a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. Well, that's not exactly true. I can pretty much guarantee that I will show up and exercise my own First Amendment rights
and
call bullshit on that. But the bottom line is that absolutely they have the right to do that, and I'll defend their right to do that. It's between them and their neighbors. But they are very poor neighbors. And moreover, they're unkind, uncivil, and downright mean to people who are in great pain at that exact moment. It shows an amazing lack of sensitivity, and shame on them.
Yeah, apparently
that is an actual harm, and I am greatly, greatly offended by that.
One thing I'm confused about is, can't you get in trouble for wearing certain shirts in public, or if you have a sign?
I was kicked off of an American Airlines. I was threatened to be kicked off of an American Airlines flight if I didn't take off a T-shirt that had a an outline drawing of a naked girl's body, of a girl's physique.
I was threatened to kick off a Southwest if I took off my T-shirt. That's a scary thing about that. You can't stand if a group of punks were hanging out at a funeral, swearing and playing loud music. Wouldn't someone come along and tell them to leave?
You know, it's interesting, Jimmy. That is your name. It's interesting because we do have freedom of speech. The government can't restrict someone expressing themselves as long as, and I find this kind of bizarre actually, as long as there aren't certain words in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they picked fags for a reason. I think what Westboro Baptist Church, being lawyers themselves, were hoping, and hasn't happened effectively yet, and I hope never does, I think they were hoping that their freedom of speech would be amended. I think they were hoping that they would be oppressed, and that we would, as a country, that we would choose to keep them from exercising their First Amendment rights. That's, I think, what they're after. In the grand scheme, I think that's what they started out to do. And they've failed at doing, and I think they're continuing to try and get that to happen.
I mean, there's an obvious motive. I mean, it's not just people venting the way they feel. I mean, that's obvious. It's an obvious form of theater for some kind of reaction.
I agree.
Right.
I think just...
And, it exceeds beyond anyone's wildest expectations.
It's insidious that some of the things that they...
I'm sorry?
It's insidious, the things that they say, and they... They do.
But again, they get no end of press, and they really are 40 or 50 people outside. And again, they don't even have to show up. They have only to send out press releases announcing that they're going to picket.
Right.
There's a certain hypocrisy, though, that I mean, not that I'm on that side, but there's a hypocrisy of some people who complain and argue about what they're doing, who will say the same thing of, hey, if you don't want to hear my routine where I talk filthy, then you don't have to listen to it.
Yeah.
The same thing with these people.
Yeah.
If you don't like what they're doing, you don't deal with it. Don't pay attention to it.
You know, if I show up at your mother's funeral.
No, don't do that.
If I show up at your mother's funeral and do my bit.
Uh-huh.
You're forcing your bit.
Actually, I would probably invite you. My mom's a very, very outspoken atheist.
I may or may not be breaking some local ordinance.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't there some kind of private function kind of boundary? Like, you know.
Well, here's the deal. Supreme Court says no.
Well, actually.
But if you're having a private party, you can keep people out.
Certainly.
So why not the same with a funeral?
Apparently, funerals, and they've done their homework, I think. Funerals are usually in what is considered to be, they're within a legal distance of the public entrance of a funeral home. So they always position themselves in a place that does as much psychological harm as humanly possible to those attending the funeral. That's their goal. And what they've done is,
nice.
I don't know if it's international. I mean, I don't know if it's nationally or just one particular state did this. But I did read recently, I know Joe Swam is at the ready right now, ready to type for information. But I did recently read that there were some restrictions put on how close they can get to
a remember
funeral.
Something about that. And I
no, military funeral.
Right.
It was military. That was it. So so some federal
but the federal,
mandate has been
passed. Yeah, a federal court did weigh in on that.
Yep.
But
restricted, I think restricted their ability to access the family members of fallen soldiers. I think that's what's happening.
And some, you know, regular people are just taking their, helping themselves out and taking things into their own hands. The Newtown shootings.
Right.
Yeah. The looks like the principal, Don Hutchsprung.
Show me, honey. Where are you looking?
Right here. Don Hutchsprung, her funeral was beheld and all these bikers came and stood in a peaceful line in front of
them. I've heard of this happening in other places, and there's a name for it, or this kind of action that
it's called jag-off blocking.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. They said
if it's not, it should be.
Yeah. The group blamed the mass shooting on Connecticut's same-sex marriage legislation.
What do you mean?
Lovely.
They blamed the mass shooting on it. They said, you know, God is punishing you.
See,
this
is why the Westboro folks are really they have trouble connecting their ideas with the public, because that connection doesn't make sense unless you really study the scriptures that inform Fred Phelps and his ilk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because what they're trying to say, for example, what they're trying to say is that we'll go to the military funerals, okay? What they're trying to say is that the military funerals are being picketed because those soldiers were struck down by God. That's what they are claiming they think or believe. Struck down by God because those soldiers support a country that supports homosexual behavior.
But that's absolutely of a piece, isn't it, with Jerry Falwell saying that Hurricane Katrina was God's visitation of punishment on New Orleans.
Now, what's the difference there, Brother Sam? Honestly, I don't think there's much difference.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's my
problem.
That's
why I said that.
It was the same with that show.
Oh, that's what you were getting at.
Joni Loves Chachi. They say that was here because of our affiliation. No.
We didn't deserve that.
That was not bad. I think it's really important to understand why Falwell, why Pat Robertson, and why Fred Phelps are, in terms of philosophically, not that far from one another. I think it's important to understand that. That's very important. But more importantly, the real harm comes from Falwell and Robertson, because those guys are taking money from people.
Well, Falwell is doing less since he died.
Well, he is dead, right. Who's the other guy? Who's the other guy? It's not Falwell anymore. It's Robertson and there's another evangelist on television that I can't think of.
I don't watch a ton of
Ryan Seacrest?
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So, is it 30 already? All right, we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheists on ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store.
Good news, everyone.
Well, that was nice. We have a premium service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. Every once in a while, I get an email that says I honestly can't afford $10 a year, and therefore, I give it to people. So, be generous, support the show if you can afford it, and please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Sam Singleton and Jimmy.
Is it the extra premium? You get 5-minute show?
No, it's 30.
It goes down. 30%. It's the more money you pay, it gets less and less.
Yes. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Son of a bitch.
Were you thinking of Benny Hinn?
Yeah, Benny Hinn is one of them. That's not who I'm thinking
Benny
of.
Yeah, Benny Hinn. He wears funny coats.
They have good food
Benny
there,
though. Jim Baker.
That's Jim Baker.
He's dead.
He's dead. Jimmy Swaggart, is he dead?
Is it Swaggart?
No, he's still alive. Jimmy Swaggart's still alive.
And working.
And Mike Huckabee comes out of that kind of thing.
Is Huckabee out of there?
Who's the 700 Club guy?
That's Pat Robertson. He's one of the bad guys.
He's the worst.
Is he the worst?
I feel like he's the worst because he comes on TV and he says all that bullshit.
I think anybody taking money from Americans and preaching that kind of shit
is a smart man.
Is that what you think?
In a way, yes.
Will you tell us this? Where'd you grow up, Jimmy?
New York.
In New York?
Upstate.
You don't even have any of the accent.
Well, not the city.
Yeah.
Upstate. The state.
The state doesn't have the accent.
No, they don't.
Yeah. And where in upstate New York? I've been all over up there.
Near Syracuse.
Okay, cool. Were you raised religious at all?
Not very. Italian, so Catholic family, but my mother was a...
The Catholic
non-believer.
Family. Yeah?
She was a Anglo.
Yeah.
Not really. Nothing thrown down our throats.
Right.
Except the wafers at communion.
And the priest.
Well.
Did you find any of it odd when you were a kid?
No,
you
not really.
Had to do any of that stuff?
No, I didn't. I mean, the thing we found odd was at our school, the Catholic kids had our church class, and the Protestants had recess.
Right.
Really?
So we started seeing the unfairness right there.
It's for your own good, right?
I had an amazing moment this week when I got
the
on
restroom?
The Wall of Reason. That's every few hours. When I got off, although I'm off dairy now, so it's not as bad.
TMI.
I got on the Wall of Reason, and Herbert Reagan, I asked for permission, and he said I can use his name, posted a story on our wall that really, I've had this argument. I want you to chime in on this one, Brother Sam. I know that you've been down this road in this discussion before. Apparently, he found himself in an argument with some folks.
You
know what I'm talking about? Who were claiming that America's in danger of becoming like Nazi Germany.
Because our president is going to be like Hitler.
Because the government is taking away our religion. That was the nature of the argument. And this is a little bit long. I didn't want to amend it. I went through it this afternoon and I thought, I don't want to shorten this. What Herbert wrote, I think, is so eloquent and so nicely put that I'm going to read it. It's about 4 paragraphs. Here we go. He said, there is no lack of religion in America. There are religious institutions everywhere, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, etc. 85% of Americans are part of a church structure that is and should be separate from the state. The problem with Nazi Germany was that there wasn't a separation of church and state. The Third Reich was the religion that people had to worship. Also, let's not forget that the Roman Catholic Church welcomed the Nazi Party. That's a fact. Among the many Nazi leaders who were Roman Catholics, in addition to Adolf Hitler, were Goebbels, Himmler, Heydrich, Let's see. Mullerv. I didn't know that name. Rudolf Hess, not to be confused with Hitler's deputy, Führer, and secretary, Rudolf Hess, spelled H-E-S-S as opposed to H-O-E-S-S. They like their S's, don't they?
That's where the S-S came from.
That's exactly right. Hermann Göring, on the other hand, had mixed Catholic Protestant percentage parentage, while Rudolf Hess, Martin Bormann, Albert Speer, and Adolf Eichmann had Protestant backgrounds. Not one of the top Nazi leaders was raised in a liberal or atheistic family. Not one. Carved on every belt buckle, and I've said this to so many believers who just don't fucking seem to understand it. Carved on every belt buckle of the members of the SS were the words Gott mit uns. That means God with us. Hitchens made that very clear to Americans. They don't seem to fucking pay attention to the facts.
That was the same slogan Mitt Romney used.
That's exactly right. Only I think he did it in another language, maybe Mormon. The problem wasn't, I'm reading on here, as the Post suggests, that the rise of Nazism was due to religion being denied the people. It was religion, the Reich's religion, and the state combined together to persecute those who worshipped, in their eyes, the wrong way. That is why there should be no student and teacher-led prayers at public events, why mangers, crosses, and the Ten Commandments should not be displayed in public buildings. This is why there should be a complete separation of church and state. And this is a quote he added to his statement. I am now, as before, a Catholic and will always remain so. That was a quote from Adolf Hitler. As for the Jews, I am just carrying on with the same policy with the Catholic Church that the Catholic Church has adopted for 1,500 years, when it has regarded the Jews as dangerous and pushed them into ghettos, etc., because it knew what the Jews were like. I don't put race above religion, but I do see the danger in the representatives of this race for church and state, and perhaps I am doing Christianity a great service. Again, Adolf Hitler with that quote. And, of course, he went on to explain that the vitriol that came back at him was immense.
Well, anybody can't draw a comparison between Hitler and what's happening here in the country is completely jaded. If this happened once, it could happen again. Our rights are slowly being taken away when it's done slowly. People get. I can't do the accent.
I'll
like
do
you
it.
Can.
Give it here. You want me to?
Yeah,
do
yeah. It? You read this.
So this, not where. Where
this
did
is
we
a
get
response
this?
From that.
This one here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody who cannot draw a comparison between Hitler and what is happening here in this country is completely jaded. How the hell did he learn the word jaded? If this happens once, it could happen again. Our rights are slowly being taken away. When it's done slowly, people get angry, but not angry enough to do anything. Each gradual change snowballs and becomes a huge change in the end, and not enough people bother to pay attention until it's too late. You stupid.
I didn't know.
That's the kind of,
wait.
Those are the kind of posts. What
it's
else you got?
Just one more. I say Obama is the new Hitler. He is planning on giving everyone a barcode on either their foreheads or right hands in the month of March this year.
Well, the weird thing is, if you take Obama and you take the O and the B and replace that with an H, and then the A-M-A and replace that with Hitler, it spells Hitler. It's very spooky.
So, have you dealt with this? Have you dealt with this atheistic nation thing? What do you really want? And there's a fundamental problem with it. I'll get to that in a minute. But have you encountered this, Brother Sam?
I have. It is total horse shit.
I like how you boil it down to the simple facts.
You have only to go to any city in the United States and cast your eyes about and take in the numbers of spires and steeples and crosses and minarets and the skyline.
Well, what are the claim that it's step by step? First, they're going to stop people from praying in the schools. Then they're going to take it off our coins, God in God we trust.
Are they going to start burning people in the ovens?
I mean,
too?
Yeah,
it is unseemly. It's unseemly for a large, huge-ass majority that exercises something like an ironclad hegemony over our culture to comport themselves as if they're a marginalized minority, as if they're persecuted. It's dishonest, and it looks shabby.
Yeah.
Shame on them.
Well, the religious often rely on that false oppression. You know what
actually,
I mean?
Actually, we have a name for that. It's imagined memory of ancient persecution syndrome. IMAPS.
I'm not downloading that app.
Yeah, that one doesn't work.
That's really funny. Yeah, I don't like seeing it in the skeptic or the atheist community. The complaint that we're being oppressed, the atheists. We're just not, in my opinion. What do you
think? Oh, well, we just are.
You think so?
Live my life for a few days and get back to me on whether atheists are oppressed.
You don't
it's
feel
a
that
day-to-day
atheists
fact of my life. That's
give me an
absolute
example.
Fact.
Give me an example. I want to hear examples. I'm going to hold you to the fire on this, Sam.
How about being ordered out of a theater with my entire audience in the middle of a show? Because
really?
Yeah, because the venue owner didn't like my material.
That happened to me when I was younger.
That's happened to me as well.
Yeah.
But the difference is it wasn't necessarily because I sucked. It wasn't necessarily because I wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Or that my audience was unruly. It was specifically because I was an atheist and I was talking to other atheists about atheism.
Where'd that happen?
That happened in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
Every single day of my life, and I'm not exaggerating, is constrained by the fact that I'm an atheist doing showbiz for atheists. More venues refuse to rent to my agent than will accept our trade. That's an absolute fact.
Okay.
Go to any city in the United States where an atheist billboard has gone up. Talk to the atheist groups who have tried to put up those billboards or bus signs and talk to them about how they alone among advertisers are required to post bonds against vandalism. That's oppression against atheists.
I think that's definitely resistance.
No, that's oppression.
I don't think it's oppression.
It's oppression in exactly the way that we are denied exactly the same means to communicate between ourselves in the public square that other groups do have. That's oppression.
Well, you know why I don't see it as oppression? Because more press comes as a result of that attempt to restrict than would have if that sign stayed up. I just don't see it as oppression.
They're absolutely two different things. I think you're talking about the collateral effect of the thing. I'm talking about the thing itself. And whether or not the act itself is obviated by some additional act down the line doesn't change the simple fact that they were denied the same degree of access to the public media that their non-atheist peers were. And that simply is. And if it happens after the fact that they get a lot of publicity out of that and it works to their overall benefit, it's fine. It doesn't change the fact that they were denied that access.
Well, it does adjust how much the message gets
oppressed. But it's purely happenstance.
Yeah, it's
there's no way to control for that to happen. There's no way to guarantee that that they're going to get publicity out of that.
Tell me
what
this
if thing. They simply are denied, and they don't put up the billboard. It doesn't make the news. I can tell you this. We send out press releases left and right everywhere we go, and we rarely get any ink.
Yeah.
You're too controversial.
No, I don't know.
That's not for me to say.
It's
I'm not going to presume to put myself in the mind of the people who are making these decisions.
It's 85% believers.
No,
that's exactly what we're dealing with.
But there's a weird tangent here. The same oppression that you might be talking about.
I have problems calling it oppression.
Well, the same is, I guess, similar to the same oppression we're trying to throw on these funeral marches.
I disagree entirely. Imagine that.
Go ahead.
Imagine that the people that I know among the non-believers that I have contact with as I travel around the country, the majority are unwilling to make known to their friends, family, let alone landlords, employers that they're atheists. I don't know a single I know very few atheists who are absolutely open about their atheist throughout all walks of their life.
I will admit I might live in a bubble in that most of the people I know I think is more accurate.
But I know a lot of people
sphere
who
are
who keep their religion a secret for the same reasons. They're very religious, but they're afraid if they get that out, their friends and colleagues will see them in a certain light.
You know, yeah, but the fact is if they're, the courts are likelier to favor them if they were to bring an action to that effect than they would than they are an atheist.
Well, there's no argument there.
Yeah.
Oppression. Let's read it. Oppression is the exercise of authority or power in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner. It can also be defined as an act or instance of oppressing, the state of being oppressed, and the feeling of being heavily burdened mentally or physically by troubles, adverse conditions, and anxiety.
I didn't write that.
So, you know.
No, you didn't.
No. So based on that interpretation of the word, I think that you win that argument between you and me. I guess we are in that sense being burdened.
Well, even Cameron Winter had problems at one of his jobs because his
Winters.
Boss... What did I say? Winters?
You left the S off.
Winters had a problem at his job.
He's a plural cold man.
Yeah, he is. Had a problem at one of his jobs because his boss was extremely religious, and I can't recall whether he was fired or he ended up leaving because of it, but
I wonder
now.
If I've suffered this. I'm outwardly atheist. I always have been. I'm also...
What? I am out of here.
What the hell? Yeah.
Me, not so much. You know, I really try to keep it on the QT.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Brother Sam. I'm openly bisexual. I'm polyamorous. I'm in multiple relationships.
Gee, what are you doing after the show?
And I'm openly atheist.
But what
aggressively. And I wonder if it's cost me, and I just don't know it.
Try wearing a T-shirt that says all those things when walking around the mall.
I just like to dress better than that.
I have an extra pair of blue. I have an extra pair of blue specs.
Everyone's got a certain. There's always there's so many things that are being oppressed. There's so many ways of being discriminated against. You know, everyone takes their personal discrimination, and you know, gives it its voice.
Yeah,
it happens in so many different venues.
It happens that when atheists are discriminated against, a disproportionate number of the best and the brightest are being discriminated against. It is the believing class shooting itself in the foot. It is enormously self-defeating to marginalize the people whom you depend on when the chips are down. When your baby is sick, yeah. You want the best physician. When you're worried about developing breast cancer later or ovarian cancer later in life, you want the best researchers in that lab working on a cure for that or a treatment for that condition. Those people are disproportionately atheist. And those are the people that our society, made up, as you say, 85% or more of believers, are relegating to the margins.
Well,
I
agree with 99% of that, I really don't concern myself with ovarian cancer. You're listening to Ardent Atheists. That's not true. I do, by the way. I love the ovaries. You're listening to Ardent Atheists, available on the iTunes Store and at ardentatheist.com. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Herbert Reagan.
Thanks,
hey,
Herb.
Matthew Ty.
Hi, Ty.
Oh, boy. Man.
Justin Harnish.
Harnish.
Loving
Justin.
Learning 64.
Hi, Mom.
Secularius.
I get it. That's a play on words with the thing and the funny.
Kyle Delaney. Medea Rooks. Mark Nowitzki. Apocalyptic Aang. Joe Swam. And Cameron Winters. Hey, Joe. These were the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Keep posting. We love seeing all your delicious content.
Now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Sam Singleton and Jimmy Palombi. How do you say it again?
You had it. Palombi. Yeah.
Palombi. It helps if you gesture.
Palombi.
Palombi.
All right, cool. It,
well, I don't know. I don't care what it is. Just stay out of my corn chips.
Jimmy and I were on the first time I met Jimmy, I think we were on, we were in a train coming back from Auschwitz. And
it's a tunnel. We kept going in and out of these tunnels.
Yeah, it was really
we were eating bananas and donuts.
Taste.
Yeah.
I think that's when it might have been a dream. I'm not sure.
We were on the same show. Also put on by the same guy who did the Santa roast. I was not.
Sounds delicious.
It was really good. Very tasty. You think I don't know how to roast Santa? But we were on the same show. Also put on by, why can't I think of the guy who puts
Dustin.
On the show?
Dustin Kaufman.
Dustin put on a show where everybody went as a I don't know, famous, a dead comedian doing their act, performing as if they had come back from the dead or what have you. And you were, who were you?
That was Andy.
Andy Kaufman. I was Fred, who was I?
Fred Sanford.
Yeah, Fred Sanford.
I went Red Fox.
Red Fox.
Red Fox.
I went as a black guy.
Negro.
Yes, Negro.
Oh, you know how you were...
Jivrican American.
You were trying to figure out whether you wanted to do blackface or not.
Yeah, I didn't think long about that one.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I don't know if anyone is in the East Coast who's listening in Philadelphia, especially because the Mummers, do you guys know about the Mummers? Mummers?
The Mummers Parade.
The Mummers Parade. Well, this year there were a bunch of people in blackface and in redface doing dancing around. And they also had decided to let cross-dressers be part of the show, and then there was a huge protest.
People who are crosses?
The cross-dressers.
There were people upset that cross-dressers were part of the gay parade.
But it's not a gay parade.
No.
It's the Mummers Parade. It happens every New Year's.
So tell people about the Mummers. What is Mummers?
Mummers are a group of people. They're kind of like a clan who get dressed up. These are manly men. They get dressed up in these big, huge... They look like turkeys, really. I mean, they have these huge feathered pieces that they wear on their back. They all, it's a marching band of music and drums and
something
dancing.
Like a crew.
It's
Mardi
almost
Gras
like
crew.
Mardi Gras. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's in Philadelphia. It's very South Philly. It's Ayo, Adrian kind of stuff. And these are manly men, but they've been doing some really messed up things lately, as like getting in, dressed up like Al Jolson, and also painting
those
their
bastards.
Faces red and
why?
Dancing around like Indians.
Why
like,
is it terrible?
Dressing up like Al Jolson?
Why is it
I mean,
terrible?
Actually,
doing the blackface.
Okay, I was going to say.
Hold on, now I want to look
it
up. How
does one dress like Al Jolson?
Well, they're doing the blackface, and it was all a rage on Twitter. What the fuck, blackface?
Well, what's wrong with dressing up in blackface? Someone convince me. Sam?
Don't ask me. I'm not. I don't want to take that
one. You don't even
want to
weigh
Jimmy?
In on this.
Yeah, have at it.
I think Jimmy's probably pro-blackface, right?
Well, it's kind of a negative clown. You know?
It is?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So what's wrong with that?
You're making fun of a race of people and calling them goofy. And
no, no, no.
Weird.
See, that's not necessarily true. I've never understood quite what is so offensive.
The short answer is that it's impossible to present blackface in our culture outside the context of the last 400 years,
right.
And especially the last 200 years of minstrelsy. Did I say that correctly?
Minstrelsy.
Minstrelsy?
Dude,
it's
you a have
nice
a vocabulary
word.
Like nobody
but,
I've ever met.
You can't look at it any other way, and it's not available for us simply to pretend that that isn't part of our collective history.
Well, it presents a stereotyped character.
It absolutely does.
Yeah, it's based
how,
on
what
a,
black people.
Like it's a
vaudevillian character caricature. You know, kind of degrading.
But do Asians drive well or not? That's all I want to know.
Well,
some
know.
Of them do.
Oh,
they can make them.
Okay, so
they
some. So
them.
What you're saying is. So what you're saying is there are some black people who don't have black faces. Then. I just want to be clear on what the problem
is.
Yeah,
but there's not any white people that have black faces.
What about white face? Would you feel offended if someone dressed with the white out?
No, I
there
think
are,
it would be hilarious.
Yeah,
in
but
fact,
you weren't oppressed.
What are you saying? Are you saying that a black guy can't be a mime?
That's hysterical.
Right?
Wait a second. I think you got something there.
I'm telling you, I think it's stupid. I really do. I'm sorry. I do. I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb to be mad at Andrew for wearing a Nazi uniform 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 years ago when he went to some fucking costume party. I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I think racism is racism when you say, hey, nigger, I'm going to kill you. Or you can't have that job because you're a nigger. That's racism. Putting on stuff on your face and doing a waka 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 isn't racism.
But it kept racist attitudes going.
I disagree.
But
I think
that's what Matt always says. He always says that it keeps racist attitudes going. I disagree with that. There is no data that supports that.
We all know what
humor.
It means. But yes, we all know what it means.
But it's not like, hey, you know, I wasn't racist. Then some guy came out in blackface. Damn, now I am.
Oh, I hate them fuckers. I'm sure glad I saw that guy in blackface because
right.
Now
changed
I'm not going to give
mind.
Anybody a job who's underdeveloped nations. I don't understand why. I really don't. I mean, I just think it's... I think it's stupid. I think it's as dumb as being offended by the word cunt.
Because you're not black.
It's not because... Really? So you disagree with me?
I disagree.
I disagree. Yeah.
But it's he's not I, black.
I, he's got some black in him.
Wait, you're you judging me because I'm some? Not. So it's you're judging me because I'm not black?
I'm just saying that's probably why you don't feel the way you do.
So you think it's offensive?
I think it is offensive.
Blackface.
Yeah, it's making fun of blacks. It's putting them in a stereotype. It's making them
on a
you call
on
them a darkie. You
well,
know?
It happens it's with like, Italians. There's a lot of caricature of Italian Americans. You know the.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there you go.
What
that
saying?
Happens all the time, and no
forget
one seems
about
to care
it. It ain't
much
a big deal.
That.
Don't worry about it.
And I'm Italian.
Yeah,
I'm not.
See,
offended.
He don't give
it's
a fuck.
You know,
were
I mean,
you a slave though?
Well, actually, my mother was pretty hard on us.
Yeah, we had you know what it's called, right? It's called spaghetti thong. I'm doing it now. I got spaghetti thong. What did I say?
Well, you don't be talking like this very often, do you now?
Shit. I didn't know that you did that good of an impression.
I'm black.
Of your dad.
Hey, now.
What? Do an impression of your dad.
He talks just like I talk.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to the original point of, you know, they've got the signs, they're at the funerals, but, you know, it's whatever you put on that vision that you're seeing. It's whatever you put on their actions. You
right.
know, if you don't pay attention to their actions aren't that big.
I genuinely don't get it, and you're Heather might be right. It might just be because I grew up in a white privileged
what do you,
world.
What do you think it meant when they first started? What was the purpose of?
It was comedic, and there's no
question
but
why?
That listen here. I know exactly what it meant. It meant when they did the minstrel acts, they made clowns out of black people. That's what they were doing. And it was, in that time, and now, in that sense, offensive. No question. Today, in my opinion, it's ironic. Today, it's taking back an image and turning it into something that doesn't mean that. That's my problem with it. That's why I think everybody should wear a fucking Hitler mustache. I think everybody should take back
no
the
thanks.
Ability to wear whatever the fuck we want. And not be turned into something we're not because of it. Because it isn't what we put on during a performance that makes us racist. It's the way we think about and treat other people that makes us racist or doesn't.
Does how our audience react to that bear on the subject at all?
That is absolutely a problem. One of the problems, I'm trying to remember the guy's name that walked off his show, black guy doing a show, and he was about to sell, I think, season 3, and he tells a story. He was doing really, really edgy stuff.
Chappelle.
Remember? Chappelle. Dave Chappelle. He walked off his show. I think he had a nervous breakdown. But he tells a story about doing this racial humor on his show and looking over and seeing white people laugh at what was, in his interpretation of the moment, the wrong thing to be laughing at. Hmm. And it made him start questioning whether or not what he was doing was right, whether he was communicating the right ideas or the wrong ideas or being misinterpreted. And that became a major issue for him. So when you're cutting edge comedy, when you're really trying to push an envelope or even shred it for that matter, which I think is what he was doing, then you definitely run into some of those kind of conundrums that you have to deal with. But I don't think that, again, I don't agree with his imbalanced misinterpretation of that data. If I were in that situation, if I were in the writing room with Chappelle and we were writing really edgy, racially charged things, and then I saw a redneck or anybody laughing at the wrong beat, I would say, we need to work on this so that we don't get misinterpreted, not run
well,
away and say, what the fuck are we doing?
Instead of a redneck laughing, there were a 5-year-old girl crying.
Then you've done your job. No, I'm kidding. If there's a 5-year-old girl watching the kind of stuff I would ever write, we got something.
No, we're
much
talking
wrong.
About the guy in blackface. We're talking about the guy. And I want to end this. This isn't what Brother Sam does. It's strictly my creator. Brother Sam has a creator. You don't. We'll talk about this stuff with great vehemence from now unto eternity, but it's not what Brother Sam does.
Yeah.
And I am going to recuse myself from further discussion along these lines. I think I've made clear what my point of view is.
No question.
So have at it, but without me.
No final beat?
No.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and I want to make sure that in closing, with regard to the racial discussion, I want to make sure that I say that
I absolutely respect your opinion, and I'm always moved to presume I'm wrong when it comes to issues of race, intrapersonally. When I sit down at the end of the night and I have internal dialogue about these kinds of things, I tend to presume that I've got something wrong, especially when I find myself in an argument with Heather over race or a woman over gender. I tend to think that I've probably got something wrong because human beings tend to get things
That's
wrong.
That's the way I felt about you when I met you.
Thank you so much.
This guy's definitely wrong about something.
Jesus, are we really out of time?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
What the hell is that about? Well, I hate to say it, but that is it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 nice. Minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank our guest, Sam Singleton, Jimmy Palumbi. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Other weirdos.
And we'll be talking about...
If I knew that, I'd be psychic.
That's right, you would be psychic, but you're not, and I'm not. We're not.
We're not.
This has been Free
Neither
Version.
Anybody else?
Of somebody could be.
Nah.
No?
No.
If we ever find one, I'd like to know. I'd really like to meet a psychic person. If you're psychic and you can hear me thinking right now, give me a call, 818-634-4070. I want to talk to you. This has been the free version of episode 97, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. What do you want to plug?
I want to plug Sam Singleton, Atheist Evangelist in Revival at the Lounge Theater.
Jimmy?
JimmyPalumbi.com. I'll be playing your city soon without being there.
That's it. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Loverman Swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron Loverham Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.